Well, good morning. It feels like Wisconsin, right? So we'll let the word of the Lord warm our spirits and warm our hearts. As you were, if you were with us last week, we went through the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew brought us to the baptism of Jesus. There's some things that we remember as that occurred. We see that John said he wasn't worthy to baptize Jesus. Jesus said, it must be so. Let it be. It was to follow one important thing in our lives with Christ, was that he was identifying with his creator. God wanted us to understand the one who was sinless would become sin for us. And in every way, on the human side, he can relate to you and me. Through joy, through suffering, through sorrow, he could relate on the human form. The Holy Spirit was evident of the fact that God was blessing him and would minister to the human side that he would need. And if you look and study the 3 years of even his ministry, you see the Holy Spirit strengthening that part of the physical body. And we mentioned that we too, when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, as soon as we do, we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to take care of that physical side of our needs. And isn't it good? Because he told the disciples that I'll be leaving and I'm going to give you a comforter. The Gospel of John now comes and testifies of the same thing. John is a little different than Matthew. We said Matthew was the one that wanted to show you that Jesus is the King. He shows you through chronological parts at the beginning of Matthew. You remember reading the beginning of Matthew and you get lost sometimes. You go, begot, so about somebody else begot, and you go down, you know, what is all this? And you see it's basically lineage to show you the lineage to Christ. Then we also see things in regards to the Magi. Remember, as the Magi were pointing and looking, and they studied, and they found that there would be one born in a certain place at a certain time. And King Herod liked that information and tried to stop Jesus. Jesus' ministry, found in Matthew, was always being tried to be stopped all the way from his birth. And Matthew kind of goes through the life of Jesus in a synopsis thing from beginning of birth and through his life. John doesn't do that. John, as a disciple, wants you to know, and he tells you in his gospel, he says, I write these things that you might what? Remember that? He says, I write these things that you might know. There's no question when you read the Gospel of John. And so sometimes people send people when they first get saved or hear about Jesus to study Matthew, to see that lineage. Others send people to John because John just gets little nuggets, puts them together to show you that Jesus Christ was truly the Messiah. And that's his purpose of his book. John writes a little differently. John doesn't really tell you sometimes who he is. He doesn't put his name in there. He's the one that you know when you see the picture of the Last Supper leaning on Jesus' breast. He was very close to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's instructed after crucifixion to take care of his mother. So John's very important. He's one of the disciples that lives the longest. He is exiled and probably in his 90s as he's writing even in the book of Revelation that we would have to look at. So he's always revealing Christ and wants you to know that that's the Messiah. John the Baptist was the forerunner. He knew, but he was born probably 6 months before Jesus. He was the one that would tell you of Jesus to come. They might even play together. But he was revealed in his life that this truly was the Son of God, and how that occurred was through the baptism. We had signs, didn't we? We had the time when the Trinity would be there. We had the Lord Jesus Christ present. We had the Holy Spirit come as a dove, the heaven opened, and we heard the voice of God. And that testimony comes through on John's side too. And so John is telling us as he goes into Scripture. It's interesting because at this time we find that after the baptism comes followers. John the Baptist had followers. He had help, as he was telling those they needed to repent from their sin, change their ways. After Jesus came, it was going to be new. We were introduced to the one that would what? Take away the sin of the world. Remember, Old Testament and all the way through until Jesus' death, the only thing that mankind could do was offer a sacrifice for their sin to be reminded that they were what? Sinners. Anybody sinner in here today? Yeah? Okay, every hand should go up, or in our hearts we know, don't we? You might hide it well, but even pastors are. How about that? But there would be only one to come and only one way, and John mentions later in his scripture, there's only one way to have forgiveness of sins, and that was because he introduces a term that is found nowhere else into the Bible, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, this upset the Jewish people. The Jewish people knew, one, when the sign came from heaven as the dove, remember last week, we mentioned that the normal person, I hope we did, would have a sacrifice, and most of them could afford a dove. And so when they came to sacrifice, they might purchase a dove and sacrifice a dove to remind them of their sin. Now it was being mentioned of a lamb. And as the Jewish custom would be, they could remember all the way back to the days where the lamb had to be perfect and the blood was put on the lintel on the doorpost. And if you passed through the door, you were protected. If you didn't do it, when the plagues came, you died. The only way that you could be saved from that disaster was through the blood of the Lamb. And so the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were watching already the beginning ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and building their case. How could it be? Now, there's some other interesting things. If you study church history, you can study Andrew. I like to go through and just get an idea of what's going on with Andrew. Andrew was known as the first follower, and he carried that title all the way through his life. It says after Jesus' passing, he went out to the Black Sea area and ministered the gospel out to the Black Sea area. So Russia will have some signs that here's St. Andrew. The Ukraine, known as today the Ukraine, he ministered in the Ukraine, Kyiv, and things like that. That's where he had his ministry. And so he was starting churches out that way. He later is martyred for Christ's sake, and he dies on a cross, but it's called a cross of an X. He, like Peter, didn't want to be crucified similar to Jesus and decided he would be crucified on a cross with an X. He was warned not to preach the gospel. If you stop preaching the gospel, we won't kill you. But he stayed true to his faith, and he was martyred. Later, his remains were shipped all over because there were leaders at the time that wanted to destroy any evidence of him, and a lot of his remains went to Scotland. And the Scottish flag is where one of the kings, in getting ready for battle, thought he was going to lose, made a prayer to, instead of Jesus, to St. Andrew, and he saw in the clouds, apparently, blue background and a white cross in the shape of an X. So if you look at the Scottish flag for the normal people at the time, they have two flags. That flag is based on St. Andrew. And so it was kind of neat just to study the history. I was getting caught up in Andrew, and then I forgot the whole message of the whole Bible is supposed to be about who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So in this passage, let's look at some names that Jesus was called. First, of course, he's called Jesus, and we knew that through prophecy that he was going to be named Jesus, Emmanuel. And that meant that it would be what? God with us. And that's going to be important in your Christian faith all the way through as you are growing in Christ and remembering how things are going and things could go in your life. He came to be with his people and experience what they might experience. This Jesus experienced the same things that you experience. And when you go to him, he knows how his creation feels. Jesus. It's interesting, when Andrew and another disciple, the other disciple isn't mentioned. Many followed Jesus and became disciples. There was only 12 that became apostles. But a lot of John's followers ended up following Jesus. Later, I think it's around John chapter 6, we find out that a lot of people left being a disciple of Jesus. You know why? It's too hard. In your Christian faith, as you've walked and stood for Christ, have you found sometimes it just seems too hard? It's been hard. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to get us through, to move us up, to uplift us and keep us going. But these that were following and looking to see if this is the Messiah, the lifestyle and what he was teaching was too hard for them. You will come across those that you witness to. And you share your love for the Savior, or you invite them to church, and you'll find out in their lives it's too hard. To take Sunday and take a time to come to church, too hard. I've counseled folks, and they want the church to do things for them. And when you tell them, well, come to church, be part of the fellowship, share your gifts, share your talents. It's too hard, and they don't come. Maybe you run into that. Andrew and the others say to Jesus, why are you coming? And they say one word, Rabbi. That was their answer. It was a word that had honor. And at the same time, they wanted to be taught by Jesus. Where are you going? Where we're going to follow? Where are we going? We're going to where Jesus was spending home time. And they spent time with Jesus. Rabbi, we want to be taught. We know that this is the one John the Baptist said was coming. This is the Christ, meaning this is the Messiah. But the one phrase that you will not find in any other gospel is when John says, behold, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world. What can you walk away with today? I ask you in your heart of hearts to be thinking of your relationship with Christ and say, behold, this Lamb of God who has taken away your sins. As you come for communion, may it have a refreshment of today to know that whatever has happened in life, that God has forgiven you and sees you as he sees his Son. And as you come, St. Andrew, when he passed, they have a feast every November 11th. We have a feast every Sunday. We share of the cup. We share of his body. Broken for who? For you and for me. Behold, the Lamb of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a passage that reminds us of Jesus' starting ministry, that as he goes out, it was, behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He was going to come, preach, teach, heal, and yet come to die for me and for the world. We thank you for the work of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to know more about this Savior who came and where you stand, ask. Just talk after and say, could you pray for me? Or could you talk to me? I have your questions. Write them down. We'll deal with them. If you have a need this week, let the church know. We'll make sure that your need is met. Okay? All right. Thank you.